Hell in a Bottle by Simon Jowett. Let chaos reign! Cargon's battle cry carried over the sound of carnage and burned itself into the minds of killers and victims alike. Continents away, blood letters paused to raise a shrill answering cry before returning to their appointed task, the complete desecration of another of the Imperium's shining homeworlds. The towers of Ilium were falling. Detonations filled the air as a squadron of Marauder ground attack craft punched through the pall of smoke that hung over the capital city. Chaos Hammer air-to-ground missiles kicked free of their wing-mounted cradles and screamed earthwards. The jewel-like spires of the Administratum complex shattered and fell. Dark plumes of debris blossoming miles into the air. The Imperial garrison's concern for civilian casualties had been abandoned. Only one strategy remained. Destruction of the invaders, whatever the cost. At an unspoken signal from Cargon, several of the nearest bloodletters turned their attention to the attacking aircraft, each raising its weapons skywards. Sword, axe or spear, these weapons were primarily conduits for the unearthly power of chaos, which, focused by their wielders' rudimentary wills, leapt skywards towards the attacking Imperial craft. Organic matter first. The flesh of every human pilot slid, gathered itself, then reformed. Tumors burst on skin and writhed with void-born life. Every bone hummed with imminent destruction as chaos invaded its blood-dark marrow. In seconds, every pilot's sling seat was occupied by a grotesque malformation of cells vibrating to an ever higher pitch. As the dull reports of exploding flesh painted the cockpits red and black, the Marauder's power plants overloaded. The smooth mathematics of their operation unbalanced by the chaotic assault. The aircraft spun crazily out of control, some spiraling across the sky, others ploughing into the planetary crust, all finally engulfed in fireballs of pyrotechnic annihilation. As the bloodletters returned to the task of dismantling the capital city, brick by brick, soul by soul, Cargon surveyed the madness and saw that it was good. Dubbed the Seed Bearer by those who sought to invoke his presence, Cargon had feasted on the entrails of a thousand worlds, drawn to breaches in the membrane between warp space and the material universe, like a shark to fresh blood. Cargon knew only one purpose. Strike. Violate. Move on. Soon Ilium would lay behind him, forgotten like so many worlds before. Ilium is ours! The assembled horde, a hideous confederation of lesser demons, mutant spawn, blood letters, chaos warriors and hybrids of every life form that had been infected by the contagion of corruption, bowed their heads in affirmation. The question was unnecessary. The sounds of conflict had been replaced by an absolute silence that spoke of only one thing. Victory. The tang of burning flesh hung heavily in the air, as it did over every city on Ilium. The pyre before which Cargon and his cadre stood reached as high as the tallest of the once proud towers and painted the sky with its slick, black smoke. The pestilence of humanity had been wiped from the planet. Cargon and his followers had drunk deeply of their souls. There remained only one more act to perform. The ritual of seeding. Let it begin! Cargon commanded. With a shuffling of feet and a creaking of armor, four mighty chaos demons stepped forward from the assembly to stand in the clear space before Cargon and the pyre. Creatures of unstoppable violence, they stood, wings folded, their raging bloodlust quelled by the dark charisma of their leader. An awed hush descended over their followers. There was no room in the semi-sentient minds of Chaosspawn for the subtleties of religious feeling, but they knew that they were in the presence of one of the high mysteries of Chaos. With a sibilant hiss and crack, the brazen breastplate of the first of the selected demons peeled back along hidden seams, exposing pallid, grey-white flesh. Thick, dark veins pulsed beneath its semi-translucent surface. The pulses grew quicker, stronger, as the veins began to swell, pushing out against the restraining flesh. A low, bubbling moan issued from the creature's throat, accompanied by the sounds of three more breastplates opening. A low, animal murmur drifted through the watching crowd as all four sacrificial candidates began to tremble, their exposed flesh quaking and distending, caught in the grip of a dark, palsied ecstasy. The chest of the first demon, now bulging far beyond the limits of its armor, split explosively, expelling the tightly wound veins across meters of ground. The earth was soaked by purple-black ichor as the veins continued to pulse and flex of their own volition. With a sigh of almost post-coital satisfaction, the demon fell first to its knees, then face forward into the dirt. One by one the other three fell, all signs of life exhausted for the mass of pulsating veins that continued to coil and uncoil on the ground before them, growing fatter with every pulse, rubbing slickly against each other as they approached their own apotheosis. The veins, now as thick around as the barrel chests of the demon form from which they sprang, burst in a cannonade of viscous fluid. The assembled horde drew back, but Kargon stepped forward, his breastplate now open, revealing a wet maw from which pale tentacles flashed to taste the raining droplets. From the depths of Kargon's chest uncoiled a single, thicker tentacle, ignoring the dark rain that spattered his ornate armor. It drove itself into the pool of ichor at his feet, into the ground beneath, as if searching for the core of the planet itself. Kargon stood rigidly as the tentacle pulsed once, twice, then withdrew, coiling back on itself, settling once again deep within the seed-bearer's chest. The small tentacles that ringed Kargon's maw licked hungrily along its length, cleaning away all traces of the ichor.
"The ceremony is complete. The seed of chaos grows here," Kargon announced,
his armor sealed, his voice soft with satisfaction. Scoured clean of human life, Ilium was now the cradle for Chaos's seed. In time, new life would grow, twisted, hideous, pliant to the will of Kargon's masters, an infection waiting to spread.
"Our task here is complete,"
Kargon's words rang out across the glassy plain on which his entire force stood. They had travelled from every continent, every shattered city, every ruined sector of Ilium to gather on this patch of desert that had once been the control centre of the Imperial garrison. The sand beneath their feet had been scorched, melted and fused by a final futile act of suicidal defiance, the detonation of the garrison's remaining nuclear stockpile. Here and there, fragments of the garrison buildings protruded from the cracked surface like ancient standing stones, their original purpose erased by the blight of chaos and already forgotten by the victorious invaders.
"But there are other worlds that long to bear the harsh fruit of chaos. We shall journey to these worlds, harrow their souls, and make them fit to receive the seed of chaos."
Kargon gestured towards the chaos gate that had been erected on the plain. Though quiescent, its design would dizzy any human onlooker. The sigils etched on its surface glowed with a menacing, lambent radiance, awaiting Kargon's command.
"The command is given!"
As he spoke, Kargon noticed the unusually restive atmosphere that permeated his troops. After such a complete victory, they would normally exhibit a stolid compliance. Having fared on a planet's worth of souls, they would be satisfied, ready to move on. Instead, Kargon sensed something that would normally accompany their arrival to a new world, one that promised a rich harvest of pain. Hunger.
"The command is given!"
Kargon repeated. The gate should have already spun into life, the component parts of its multiple lattice structures turning in ways that violated every law of motion as it tore a new hole in the material space. But the lattice remained stubbornly immobile, the tides of warp space beyond Kargon's reach. A puzzled shuffling rippled through the ranks of demons. They too sensed that something was not as it should be. Kargon ignored them. Within his ancient helm, supradimensional lenses realigned themselves over his multifaceted face, focusing both inward to the fluid shard of chaos that burned at his heart, and out beyond Ilium, where he found nothing. A barrier beyond which he could not reach, beyond which there appeared to be nothing for his inhuman senses to grasp, no clue to the reason for this confounding turn of events.
"There must be a reason,"
Kargon muttered, while an unaccustomed sensation gnawed at the edges of his awareness. Hunger. The reason sat, blinking sweat from eyes that felt as if they had been seared by gazing into the very fires of hell. Before him, a periscope sight hung from an articulated cradle. Each twist of its operating handles provided a new angle on Kargon and his troops, or offered mind-numbing views of the planet-wide devastation. Along one wall of the small annex in which he sat, a bank of printers chattered out statistical assessments of the speed and efficiency of Kargon's victory. His name was Tyadeus, Instructor Sergeant of the Ironheart Space Marine Chapter, designated supervisor of the Mimeus engine, and for the last hour he had struggled to comprehend what he had seen. Wrenching his view from the viewfinder's binocular eyepieces, Tyadeus tore a strip of parchment from the nearest spool. The arcane sigils of the Adeptus Mechanicus gave the same answer to the question he had asked for the seventh time in as many minutes. Ilium was secure, isolated from other systems in the outpost. The only way to make it more so was to begin stripping gears and rods from the very guts of the engine itself. However, Tyadeus was a technician, not a tech priest. This would have to do. Tyadeus sat back in his chair, closed his eyes and tried to calm the hurricane of images that roared within the confines of his skull. Images of invasion, of merciless assault, death, and desecration, of a vile act of planetary humiliation that no human had ever seen before and lived to report, none of which could be said to have truly happened at all. Ilium was a fiction, one training ground of many that could be generated by a bizarre machine set deep in the bowels of a training outpost that was all but ignored, even by the chapter to which it belonged. Ancient technology, old before the Emperor first ascended the throne, had been unearthed and used to create an addition to the training of Space Marine initiates, worlds on which initiates could fight, die, and fight again, learning from their mistakes without paying the usual price for a failed strategy, their own death, and the deaths of their fellow Marines. Lex mechanics, artisans, and logices had spent decades constructing the Mimesis machine. Not only Ilium, but simulations of a thousand unreal worlds were created, amalgams of every planet on which Space Marines had fought and died. Doubts were raised about the sanctity of such an enterprise, the purity of any technology that set out to remake the universe. Many were reminded of the foul desire of Chaos cultists and the dark gods they worshipped to do exactly the same thing. In the end, The ecumenical concerns had little to do with the sidelining of the Mimeus machine. No space marine worth his salt would waste more than a sneer on it. A space marine prays for only one chance, the chance to die serving the Emperor, opined Primarch Robonik, on hearing of the project's completion. In the face of this opposition, the project's supporters proposed that the Mimeus engine be assigned to the Iron Hearts to be used in the earliest stages of their initiates' training. Lexamechanics would monitor the combat performance of these initiates and thus evaluate the engine's usefulness. During the decades that followed, initiates had come and gone, climbing into the rod and fire-stung battlesuits that enabled them to interact with the worlds generated by the engine. Each exercise was preceded by ritual invocations of the Emperor's protection from any possible taint of chaos that might arise from contact with the engine, and would end with a service of absolution in the Ironheart's Chapel of Martyrs. Over time, interest in its use dwindled. Fewer initiates were sent to do battle with the generated simulacra of demons, gene-stealers, orcs, and Eldar, and the maintenance team was reduced until only Tyadeus and his servitor named Barak remained.
"They are just waiting for it to break down," Tyadeus had complained to Barak on more than one occasion. "Then they will simply forget to repair it."
Barak would nod or grunt, then go on about his business of climbing around and between the engine's cogs and gears to apply lubricating unguents to the fast-spinning components. Throughout the long hours they spent in each other's company, Tyadeus was the only one who spoke. Hour after interminable hour, he would watch the engine grind through one of its default settings after another, sink deeper into his chair, and dream of the glory that should have been his. This day had started as every other. Argos, Belladonna, Caladon, the unending cycle of worlds ran its course through Tyadeus, paying scant attention to the scenes being played out across the eye sockets of the viewfinder, brooded over the opportunities for real combat on behalf of the Emperor which had been denied him by the very Imperium he longed so desperately to serve. Evangelion, Fortalitas, Galatia, Hyperius, Ilium. The invasion had already begun. Tyadeus stared in bewilderment at the figures on a tape scrolling from one of the tutorial calculators. A rout was in progress on a world primarily used to instruct initiates in the basic elements of planetary defense. Ilium's default setting was one of the most boring of the entire catalogue. Jerking upright in his seat, he pressed his eyes to the viewfinder and manipulated its array of handles and dials. Unbelieving, he watched as a tide of demons rampaged across the imaginary homeworld, putting its artfully rendered citizens to the sword, axe, and claw.
"Maybe this is the breakdown they've been waiting for," Tyadeus muttered as he tore off the most recent diagnostic printout.
"Simulation running, Ilium, simulation status, standard, operation status, nominal."
"Your days are numbered," Tyadeus informed the Mimeus machine. He felt a certain satisfaction at the prospect of it being junked and of his being reassigned. But reassigned to what? Weapons maintenance? Sub-technician in the map room? Every possibility held nothing but further humiliation for a space marine who had been deemed unworthy so many years before. The ambush had been well set. Tyadeus's team detected no trace of their quarry's proximity until the jaws of the trap closed around them.
"Stand and fight, Marines!"
the company's leader cried, before a double hit from the merciless crossfire took him out of the fight.
"For the Emperor!"
Tyadeus cried in an attempt to rally the company, which was already down to less than half strength. He pumped shell after shell into the surrounding jungle foliage. Shadows moved among the thick, bold trees.
"Tyadeus, down!"
a shout from behind, followed by a bone-jarring impact. A charge detonated overhead, in the space he had occupied moments before. Half-rolling, half-sliding in the mud into which he had been pitched, he struggled round to face his saviour.
Seems I owe you, Christus. Tiredius acknowledged. His fellow team member flashed his familiar gap-toothed grin. Still got your bolter?
Always by the Emperor, Christus replied, patting the weapon.
Good, said Tiredius, as he gathered his legs under him. Lewd sucking noises burst from the mud as he freed himself from its embrace, because there's only one way out of this. Tiredius sprang forward, his bolter dancing in his grip as he fired charge after charge into the foliage ahead. There was a dull thud of an impact, most likely on a breastplate. A body crashed into the ground. A second thud, another body fell.
Right behind you, brother!
Christus bellowed, sprinting after Tiredius, his own bolter dancing in his hands. Crashing through the cover behind which their attackers had lain in wait, Tiredius paused. Two bolt rifles lay, abandoned, in the mud. With a crash and shout, Christus joined him.
These trees are thick enough for a battalion to hide behind,
Christus commented as they scanned the immediate area. What light filtered down from the dense forest canopy served only to throw impenetrable shadows across the spaces between the immense trunks.
There!
Tiredius jabbed a gloved finger towards a gap between the trees.
Movement!
Christus loosed off a volley. Tiredius was about to join him in pounding the shadows themselves into submission, when a sudden nagging at the back of his head prompted him to turn. The figure charged from behind a tree to Tiredius's right. Fast, saw-toothed blade already descending, too close to bring his bolter to bear. A short step to the left and a twist of his body took Tiredius out of the blade's path. Another short step, this time towards the oncoming attack. And an abrupt, stiff-arm jab caught the attacker full in the face. Tiredius was well braced for the impact. His attacker was not. Boots sliding in the mud, he sprawled backwards. The attacker's helmet, jarred loose by the power and angle of Tiredius's punch, spun away into the shadows.
By the golden throne! That hurt! Initius Caius declared, shaking his head, then prodding gingerly at his temple, over which a bruise was already beginning to form.
I was out of ammunition, so hand to hand was my only option. Should have known better when I saw it was you.
Tiredius stood over the fallen initiate, lifting his bolter. He casually drew a bead on Caius's rueful expression.
Boom,
Tiredius said, as the siren indicating the end of the exercise stilled the sounds of combat in the clearing behind them.
You're dead.
Tiredius's hand hovered over the intercom, images of long-distance triumphs drifting through his mind. Caius, always too easygoing, never sufficiently focused on a task, had fallen during his first mission with the scouts. Christus, the born warrior, was currently leading a company on the latest of a string of successful search and destroy expeditions. Every one of the initiates with whom he had trained had earned the right to receive the Space Marine gene seed and had gone on to serve the Emperor in the front line of the crusade against the forces of Chaos. Many had perished, earning themselves a place in the Ironheart's Chapel Book of Martyrs. The others continued to win glory for themselves and for the chapter. And what of Tiredius? Tiredius, initiate of honour. Tiredius, of whom many had spoken as a potential company commander. Perhaps even chapter master, given time.
Ah, yes, Tiredius. What had become of him?
Your body has rejected the gene seed. Chapter Master Hippocrates was blunt.
Years spent in the field, dealing with the most appalling battlefield injuries and carving the invaluable prognoid glands from the bodies of fallen space marines, had blasted away any pretense of a bedside manner. Tiredius sat across from him, stiff-backed, braced for the news, but still unable to quiet the rage of his emotions or the flu-like palsy that had gripped him since the third and most recent attempt to introduce the gene seed into his system.
As far as we can tell, there's some problem with your DNA's assimilation of the seed. Your body reacts to it as if it's an invading organism. There's nothing more we can do. Any further attempts to introduce the seed would run the risk of producing intolerable mutations. Report to the chapter adjutant for reassignment. That is all.
With those words, and a wave of his gnarled right hand,
the grey-haired apothecary brought Tyadeus's life to an end.
Reassignment.
The word surprised Tyadeus even as it passed his lips. His hand still hovered over the intercom. He should contact Tech Priest Boris, inform him of the Mimeus engine's apparent behaviour, and accept the inevitable. The engine shut down and his reassignment. Ahead of him stretched a future spent watching initiates prepare for their own moment of glory, their assimilation of the gene seed, and their acceptance into the Brotherhood of the Marines. Not yet. Eyes still pressed to the viewfinder, Tyadeus refocused his gaze on Ilium. There was something about the invaders, about the way they moved as they piled one atrocity after another upon the surface of the unreal planet. The Mimeus engine was able to generate the apparent form and behaviour of a vast array of life forms, but over years spent squinting through the viewfinder, Tyadeus had come to recognise small, apparently insignificant deficiencies in its creations. Just as a portrait of a man might capture his appearance, hint at the manner of his movements, but fail to record the particularities of his personality, so the Mimeus engine could not, to Tyadeus' eyes, produce almost convincing simulacra. Every orc, gene-stealer or bloodletter an initiate met on one of the generated worlds was just an approximation of the truth. Inevitably, perhaps fatally, incomplete. As he continued to watch the chaotic horde slash their way across the monitors, Tyadeus saw the very inconsistencies of manner and action that he would not expect to see in the artificial enemies of one of the prescribed exercises. A certainty, an impossibility, began to grow in his mind that these invaders were real. The outrageousness of the notion warred with his understanding of the relationship between warp space and the material universe. The Mimesis engine was part of the material universe, and so, too, were the worlds that it generated. Was it so unreasonable to suppose that a confluence of currents in the warp tides could allow a cadre of demons access to one of those worlds? The longer he pondered the question, the longer he watched Ilium drown in the blood of its unreal inhabitants, the more certain Tyadeus became of the answer. Ilium had been subjected to countless imaginary assaults by aliens and demons, but this time, the demons were real. For a moment, a figure appeared, then vanished as Tyadeus panned across yet another scene of utter carnage. Not a bloodletter, taller, broader, wearing a more individual suit of encrusted armour. Tyadeus worked the viewfinder's controls, panned back across the scene, until there. Half as tall again as the tallest space marine, encased in a suit of cracked obsidian from which hung the trophies of a campaign of unspeakable horrors. From its gestures, it appeared to be directing the actions of the other demons. From the crown of its helmet's shallow dome spewed a sheaf of living tentacles. In one clawed, gloved hand, it held an axe whose shaft would stand higher than any marine. Taking his hands from the viewfinder's controls, Tyadeus stabbed sigil-etched buttons, yanked at toggle switches. A low rumbling shook the floor of the annex as whole systems of gears were thrown into reverse, connecting rods withdrawn and realigned. It verged on the blasphemous, but if he could trap the demon within the Ilium simulation, he could what? The answer was already there, in the shadows cast by the long years of frustration. But he couldn't bring himself to acknowledge it. Not yet. A printer spool chattered. Ilium had been isolated. Tyadeus ordered another printer, then another. In the time it took the printer to deliver each new screed of parchment, whole continents went black, overrun by the invading demons. Tyadeus returned his gaze to the Horde's fell commander, drawn to the inhuman efficiency of his progress across Ilium, apparently still oblivious to the world's unreality, of the trap that had already shut around him. As he watched the Horde assemble on the desert plain, a new certainty grew in Tyadeus. He was a provenance of hell, trapped within a machine-turned cage of unreality. Here was his chance for glory. All thoughts of glory were blasted from his mind by the spectacle of the ritual of seeding. Had every world that fell before this creature been subjected to this last act of violation? To defeat him would be to exact holy vengeance on behalf of every such planet. A righteous fire blossomed in Tyadeus's chest that could only be quenched by the annihilation of this demonic abomination. The black-clad figure gestured towards the Chaos Gate. The flame of Tyadeus's outrage was doused by a rush of fear. If the demon should escape. The printer delivered its final report. Ilium was secure, confined within the new alignment of the Mimesis engine's operating parameters. The Chaos Gate remained immobile. Tyadeus noticed a change in the attitude of the assembled horde. Was it apprehension? Were creatures spawned on the far side of the Eye of Terror capable of feeling fear? Time to find out, Tyadeus muttered, sitting back from the viewfinder and swinging the chair, which was suspended above the floor on its own hinged and jointed armature, towards a row of control panels set against the wall opposite the bank of printers. Via more rune-encrusted switches and levers, he urged into life a section of the engine which had lain dormant since the last group of initiates had completed their training exercises on another of the device's worlds. Another low rumbling rippled through the annex. Before he could reconsider what he was about to do, he stepped down from the chair and walked through the door that had swung open as the last switch had been thrown.
Lord of the Golden Throne, stand with me in my hour of danger. Make me proof against the taint of chaos, against which I pledge my life in your service.
As he climbed into one of the battle suits that hung in ranks in the large chamber adjoining the annex, Tyadeus chanted the liturgy before battle that he had learned as an initiate. His long familiarity with the suit's design enabled him to close it about his body and hook up the last of the motion-sensing wires without the assistance most initiates required. The battlesuit looked absurd, a smooth carapace hanging limply from wires and harnesses. But Tyadeus knew that once connected to the Mimesis machine, he would be encased in an exact copy of a Terminator battlesuit. His heart hammered in his chest and a small voice whispered in the back of his mind, informing him of the insanity of what he was about to do. Ignoring them both, he swung a blank visored helmet from its cradle above the suit and lowered it over his head. Blind within the helmet, Tyadeus breathed deeply to calm his heart and silence the whispering voice. All that mattered now was what he could achieve. He knew that, in the annex, the dials were counting down the remaining seconds of the time he had allowed himself to step into the inner chamber, don the suit and settle the helmet in place. He had selected a full array of weaponry. He had seen the enemy. He knew what he had to do. Did time stretch this way for every Space Marine? Did the last seconds before battle seem to stretch to infinity? Were their palms sweaty? Did their double hearts pound and their breath come in shallow gasps? Tyadeus already felt closer to the brotherhood that had been denied him. Still blind, still waiting, the temptation to remove the helmet and return to the annex had become unbearable when Tyadeus was blinded by the sudden return of his sight. Blinking rapidly, he looked across the glassy plain. Demons. Hundreds of them. Tyadeus stood a few meters to the rear of the assembly. He had seen their kind thousands of times before, running missions for initiates. He had watched this cadre since their arrival on Ilium. But nothing could have prepared him for this. The kaleidoscopic variety of sizes and body types assaulted his mind's senses of what a living thing should be. Some he recognized as having once been human. Chaos Space Marines, once proud brothers who had sold their souls to the Dark Gods. The individual horror of each demon was magnified to a greater power by their number. The wave of unreasoning, destructive hatred that emanated from them was palpable. Tyadeus struggled to remind himself that, for all their power, they were unwittingly trapped here on a world that could barely be said to exist at all. Even now, Tyadeus could simply pull the plug and they would be consigned to oblivion, unable to comprehend the manner of their defeat. But that was not why Tyadeus was here. He was here to fight, to bring their leader to his knees and so prove his fitness for a Space Marine's assignment. a Space Marine's respect. Thus resolved, he fired a volley into the hulking throng, determined to make the most of the element of surprise. Alerted by the explosive demise of their fellows and baying their surprise, the closely packed blood letters and other atrocities against nature struggled to turn to face their attacker. Tyadeus strode forward to meet them. Ducking a wild slash from a serrated blade, Tyadeus answered with one of his own. His chainsword bit into demon flesh, carved a gaping furrow and left the bloodletter thrashing out its life on the cracked ground. His first kill. Tyadeus's mind sang as he blasted two more on rushing void spawn with bolts from his pistol. Another blade rang against his armor, the battlesuit deflecting the strike and allowing its wearer to claim a fourth demon kill. "For the Emperor!" Tyadeus cried, as a warped orc-demon hybrid dissolved before his attack. How long since he had last sent up that cry? Kicking free of the despairing grasp of an eviscerated Chaos Marine that stubbornly clutched at his boot, he waded on into the throng. "I have arrived, demons!" Tyadeus bellowed. "I am Tyadeus of the Iron Hearts, and I am your doom!" Standing by the inactive Chaos Gateway, Kargon felt the wave of surprise that swept through his followers' ranks before the images reached him because of the low animalistic link that they shared. Through their eyes he saw Tyadeus, first as a bobbing figure glimpsed between the shoulders of other demons, the view obscured as they struggled to turn in the confused press, then as an armoured image of death, his chainsword descending, his bolter spitting explosive annihilation.
"This cannot be," Kargon hissed.
The human population of Ilium had been wiped out, but even so, no single space marine should be able to cut such a swathe through his troops. For the first time in his long existence, the seed-bearer knew the numb confusion of the defender faced by an overwhelming foe. Tyadeus strode on, conscious thought now a distant memory, moving through the ingrained patterns of combat taught him during his years as an initiate. Devoid of strategy, the demons rushed towards him, their close-packed numbers working against them, causing their weapons to clash, providing Tyadeus with the largest possible target for bolter and chainsword. Turning to avoid the thrust of a wickedly hooked spear, Tyadeus was surprised to see the bloodletter that held it knocked aside by another of its kind. The second bloodletter casually stomped its fellow's head into the ground as it pursued an attack of its own. A black chain, encrusted with the dried gore of 1,000 kills, snaked towards Tyadeus, wrapping itself around the arm he raised in defence. He let himself be jerked forward, his breastplate thudding against the carmine scales that covered the bloodletter's chest, before firing his pistol point-blank into the demon's face. The bloodletter fell back, its head a smoking ruin. Tyadeus strode on, noting with surprise that similar internarsine skirmishes had broken out around him. Kargon understood. Surprise had been supplanted in the minds of his legion by another emotion, a desire to satisfy the hunger that had gnawed at them since Ilium's fall, a hunger that Kargon shared. The souls of which they had fed had proved insufficient. Their limbs felt heavy, weighed down with the fatigue of the starving, as if the souls of Ilium's inhabitants had been mere illusions. The sudden appearance of another human offered further nourishment, nourishment that every chaos-born creature was willing to trample over its fellows to reach. Illusion. Kargon understood that also. Altering the alignment of his sensory organs, the seed-bearer prodded the landscape on which he stood, on which his troops were being cut down like so many stalks of grain. Going beyond mere appearance, he sought some trace of an organizing principle. The planes of colour were stripped away by his gaze, a matrix of turned metal revealed cogs, differentials, gears and rods, meshed and turned with expertly machined smoothness to create a pattern that was complex yet regular, real yet unreal.
"A construction!" Kargon breathed.
Now he truly understood. Illusion. So often the means by which the forces of chaos had fogged the minds of men was the foundation of the world that he had conquered, of the souls on which he and his troops had fed.
Intent on conquest, they had been unwittingly starving since their arrival. Now this new threat, an interloper from the world outside the illusion, had come to take advantage of their weakened state, had come to claim the seed-bearer's soul as his prize.
"That shall not be," Kargon rasped.
He stepped towards the nearest rank of bloodletters, who had by now joined the hungry press. A phalanx of lesser demons took to the air and arrowed towards the still distant attacker. Several bloodletters turned, distracted from their bloodlust by the presence of their leader. Kargon's axe, designated Soul Cleaver by the Imperial Archivists, was already descending. Dull surprise registered in the bloodletter's mind as Kargon's axe buried itself in its chest. A thin pseudopod extruded itself from between two plates of Kargon's armoured glove, slid across its surface, and wormed its way into a similar crevice in the axe's handle. The bloodletter's life ebbed away, drawn along the axe and the slick, gelatinous connection of the pseudopod, to swell the first of Kargon's shrunken, famished cells. Not enough. This, Kargon's first taste of real nourishment since his arrival on Ilium, served only to awaken his hunger to a sharper, more exquisite degree. Levering free his axe, Kargon struck again. A second bloodletter fell. Soul Cleaver's blade lodged at the junction between shoulder and neck. The demon jerked spasmodically, as its own depleted vitality was sucked away to replenish the strength of the dark god whom it served. Not enough. Kargon struck again and again, wading through his troops, cutting them down without a thought. Feeding, driven by the knowledge that the nameless space marine was working his way towards him in similar fashion. When the last wave of his troops fell and he faced his nemesis, the seed bearer would be ready. Tyadeus's mind was alight with righteous fury. The plain behind him was piled with the bodies of his victims. If all demons were such easy prey, he wondered why it was that they had not already been wiped from the cosmos. If one man could send so many of their number screaming back into the void that spawned them, why had so many planets fallen, so many warriors not returned home during the long centuries of conflict? Could it be that the Emperor, or those who enacted his will among humanity, were wrong? Could it be that the gene seed of the Space Marines was not the means by which the invading forces of Chaos would be repelled, but by the inner strength of men such as himself? This would be the lesson he would teach the Imperium. The true warriors were born, not bred like dumb livestock. He would cast the head of the black-armored desecrator of planets before the high altar of the Ironhearts, and they would have to listen to him. The old men of the Adeptus Terra might cry blasphemy, but they would be unable to ignore the truth of what he had done. He had long since exhausted his bolter, blowing foul-flying demons from the sky. Chainsword in hand, its self-cleansing mechanism whining in protest, Tyadeus continued to carve a path through the bloodletters, severing limbs, bursting chests with cut after cut. Instead of rushing to their doom, the demons now pulled back from his advance, parting like a curtain before the hurricane of his approach, until the demon that he sought stood before him, the leader of this dark army, their commander and their god. "Abomination!" he breathed, aware for the first time that his breath was coming in ragged gasps, that his chest burned from the superhuman effort he had expended in fighting his way to this point. But behind his visor, his eyes were bright with holy fury. Fatigue was nothing. He stood on the threshold of immortality. Kargon's axe sliced through the air and met Tyadeus's sword with stunning impact. Tyadeus staggered back from the blow, boots sliding in the viscera of a recent kill. Dropping to one knee to avoid the demon's savage backswing, he slashed at Kargon's legs. His whining blade bit, held for a moment before sliding free. The seed-bearer's armor held. Kargon stepped forward, forcing Tyadeus to retreat and parry blow after blow. How long had they danced thus across the plain, hemmed in by the surrounding bloodletters and their brethren? How long had the demon's cries echoed around his head? Time had lost all meaning to Tyadeus, almost from the moment that he charged at the monolithic black figure, determined to end the fight with one stroke. The demon lord fought with none of the imperious disdain with which he had directed the invasion of Ilum, but his power was still appalling. The cold rage with which he hurled blow after blow against Tyadeus threatened to rob the would-be space marine of his will to fight. For the Emperor! In the heart of his last battle, Tyadeus's entire existence had been boiled down to this one cry. Driving himself forward, he fainted, then spun and struck at the hand that held the axe. A cry like the cracking of the earth issued from the domed helmet of the seed-bearer. A fissure had appeared in the obsidian gauntlet. Veined ichor spurted from the wound, spattering Tyadeus's helmet and breastplate. Hope welled up within him, and he drove forward once more. Now it was Kargon's turn to retreat. Tyadeus rained blow after blow against him, anxious to breach the armour that covered the demon's vital centre, that ravening maw, that slavering organ of desecration. Kargon's defence seemed to have degenerated into an uncoordinated flailing with axe and free hand. Tyadeus stepped closer. The end, he was sure, was near. A vice closed around Tyadeus's sword hand. Another gripped his shoulder. His boots kicked at the air as Kargon lifted him from his feet. Too close. In his desire to finish things, he had stepped within the demon's reach. Despite his injuries, Kargon's sheer physical strength was incalculable. Soul Cleaver hung forgotten from Kargon's wrist as he drew Tyadeus closer still. Straining to twist free from Kargon's grasp, Tyadeus still had time to notice that the cracks in the seed-bearer's armour were more than mere scars of combat. They pulsed with life, as if stone-like carapace was organically connected to the body within. As he watched, the pulses quickened. With almost geological slowness, Kargon's breastplate cracked and yawned lazily open. No! Tyadeus seemed to hang over a bottomless pit, a fissure that led down into his own heart, to the depths of his own ambition, to his doom and that of the training outpost in which his terror-stricken body still stood. Deep within that pit, something stirred and began to snake towards the light. Tyadeus barely felt the impact as the tentacle punched through his breastplate, fastened on something deep within him, and began to feed. He could accept death as the price for his own failure. That, after all, was the warrior's code. It was the knowledge that flooded his mind, even as Kargon emptied him of his soul, that caused him to cry out in anguish. The seed-bearer was not interested in his soul, nourishing though it might be, after the unsatisfying fare of Ilium's unreal inhabitants and the meagre souls that motivated his followers. Kargon wanted from Tydeus the one thing he alone was able to provide. A gateway to the material universe, the truth behind the illusion of Ilium. Emperor, forgive me! The words, Tyadeus's last human thought, emerged into the silence of the inner chamber before, with a wet explosion, Kargon peeled back the barrier between illusion and reality. Tyadeus's body hung in the air, a twisted blasphemy of blood and bone, as the gash in the fabric of material space grew wider, setting off incursion alarms throughout the outpost. Kargon stepped towards the connecting door, beyond which lay the annex, and after that the outpost, whose inhabitants were already scrambling in response to the alarms. Behind him, his remaining followers erupted through the gateway, their hunger thickening the air. Souls, hissed Kargon, demon lord of chaos, space marine souls. His fingers flexed around the haft of his axe, the fissure with which he had enticed Tydeus into his grasp, now sealed. It's time to feed!
Thanks very much for watching. I like this one. It's got some interesting ideas. Like I say, it's a bit of a mess lore-wise because, you know, it mentions Primarchs and some of the stuff's off. I would normally say it's old lore, but some of the errors are so egregious, I'm surprised it got past the editing thing. But, you know, whatever. It's a good little tale. Nice little bit of old lore. Good stuff. Thanks to everybody supporting the channel, lads, really appreciate it. You can see all your names here. Thanks again, really means a lot. If everybody could please give this video a like, I'd really appreciate that. Remember to subscribe if you're not subscribed and hit the bell notification and all that. Let me know in the comments what you thought. There's going to be more videos coming very, very soon, so stay tuned. Thanks very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Cheers. With a sigh of almost post-coital satisfaction... Well, that caught me off guard.